Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you are watching. We are so glad that you are here with us on the Rock Life Podcast. As you can see, we have a bit of a different kind of setup. Pastor Teresa is joining us. As always, I'm here with Pastor Dan, and my name is Antonio. We are privileged, honored, blessed, glad, thesaurus.com, for all the different things that we feel about you being here with us, whether you're watching on YouTube, live, Spotify, and or Apple Podcast or Droid Podcast. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't have an Android.
So if you have a Droid, now I will say I've heard that Droid is really trying to, I even saw like a Google Pixel commercial. They're really, you know, they had Curry on there and they're really putting some play on there. But anyways.
It's funny because when you talk to people who have an Android, they're like, yeah, Apple's really trying to, you know, kind of the opposite statement, but just, you know.
Right, that's because like they're like the right, they're on the right side of history.
Finally catching where we're up. Your pictures you send me aren't pixelated anymore. About time.
But it's all about, do you make my messages green? Let's be honest, right? Wow. Do you make the messages green?
I think so.
I've been a coach a few times of my daughter's soccer teams, and I'm starting the group chat every season. I'm entering the numbers, and it's blue. I'm like, yes. Down the line, yes. And then you get that one that turns it green. I'm like, no.
Who are you?
But actually, I think they've changed some features, like where you can still name it. Because there are certain disadvantages of having non-Apple. Because I think with Apple, you can add at any time.
Yeah.
You can name it. But I think they made it where.
So with the non-Apple users, I'll call them. I started using WhatsApp.
Yes.
Just because it's secure end-to-end encryption and all that kind of stuff, which I know that they've addressed in some forms and fashions, but there was a period of time it was like, if it's green, don't text because, like the evil people out there, the hackers are going to
get
all your information, you know.
Well, I didn't hear that.
That makes me wonder if it's all an Apple ploy to make
you feel.
Who sponsored making you feel like you got a
Android phone, Android phone platform just to make them.
We've got one of those sister text messages because they have eight sisters. And one of them is a Droid user.
And everyone's pitching
everything
in.
Up. What did you guys say? I can't see that picture. They're always complaining.
Everyone pitching to get you an iPhone.
Just come on over.
Well, we are here just last week. I know I put out a social media post inviting people to send some questions for topics and ideas for this conversation for a podcast. And we got some great feedback. I put it on my personal social as well as on the church one. And several questions came in. And so what we did is we brought back our favorite randomizer. Shout out to
Beep Boop Beep.
An online site that, I just put in the questions and it's going to randomize. And then so today, we're going to tackle some of those questions. So we brought in Pastor Teresa, our dean of, or do you like dean or do you like president or
I'm the president, aren't I?
You're
the president.
So are you dean or are you kind of pastoral covering director?
Director,
I think is what it says that's on those diplomas.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Director of the Bible College. I mean, that's.
There you go.
Yeah.
President, that's hefty.
Director. President and director of the Rock Bible College.
All right, well, we got some Bible College. And I see a Bible College.
Yeah, here's a shout out. We'll go center cam on this one to the Rock Bible College. This podcast is brought to you by Rock Bible College. Currently enrolling.
Yes.
And they offer both in-person and online. So for some of you guys, you're not in the area, but you love the podcast. And I think especially, this is a good one for this podcast and probably the next one too, just because we're answering questions that if you went to Bible college, you would know the answer.
There you go. I'd say a big amen to that.
This is a great place to learn the Bible, to go deeper, to get those questions answered. At the end of my class, I open it up and I say, even if you ask a question that has nothing to do with the class that I just taught, I'll answer it to the best of my ability.
Right.
And there have been times where I haven't known the answer. I've gone home and studied, and I come back with a biblical answer. So it's a great place to learn in an environment. And there's some great people.
Too. Yep,
so absolutely. Shout out to all of our Bible College students that are listening, watching.
Class of
08. You're Bible College
graduate. You're the president, the director. I was once the assistant director of the Bible College.
Hey, look at you, man.
So, but that was...
The registrar.
Yeah, the registrar. Started as the secretary, went to registrar up to assistant director.
Wow, man. You must have been amazing.
If I would have hung out a couple more months, I might have been the director.
Maybe
I don't
you
know.
Then what have you done?
Small groups.
Podcast. So we're excited to jump into these. There were some great questions again. So thank you all for your feedback. And really one of the things, the reason to put out some of the questions, not just for content's sake, because what it showed me, because there was some questions that were repeat questions, it kind of gives us a better pulse of where people are at and some of where they're living real life. I know us being on staff at church, our coworkers are often fellow church members or pastors or, you know, colleagues. If we're not careful, we can live in a really consumed vacuum of things and think everyone thinks like us, has the same challenges of us. But obviously we have our families and other friends that we get these insights. So again, these questions are, it's where people are living and it's the things that they're facing on a daily. So again, I punched it into this randomizer just so you believe me. I hope that all these fingerprints don't show up on
there.
That's
all they're going to see.
But I'm just going to do it. Let's just get right into it. Is that
all
right?
Spin the wheel.
Sounds good.
All right. We spin the wheel. The first question is. Oh, man. We're starting right into it.
Are we jumping in?
Going right in. Biblical backing for women pastors.
That's a great one to start with, especially having a woman pastor with us.
I was going
to
say, you hired me.
I did.
Oh, so what's your biblical backing?
What is your biblical backing for me?
Yeah.
Man.
Should I go or are you going to go?
Rock, paper, scissors.
All right.
Okay. One, two, three.
Wait. Oh, wait. I don't know how to play.
It's one,
two, three, go.
Shoot. Okay. Now you know what she's going to go with, though.
One, two, three, shoot. One, two, three, shoot. One, two, three, shoot. Oh, I knew it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go first. Biblical backing for women in ministry. First and foremost is that, above anything else, is that God loves women. God created women. And the original intent for God creating man and woman was never for man to lord over the woman or woman to lord over the man. It was for them to be co-heirs together. And I love the fact that God took woman from the side of man, coming alongside of him in mission and purpose and vision, that sort of thing. In the fall, structure was ordained in the home, and therefore husband was made head of the house, okay? Head of the house. It's important because I'm building a foundation for what we see in the New Testament. But even under the old covenant, you see people like Deborah. Prophetess and judge, right? I mean, you've got kings in the old covenant going to the prophetess, right? Even in Jesus's day, still under the old covenant before the cross, you've got Anna, right? Who is there serving at the temple. Then we come into the church age and the apostle Paul says something profound. He said, now there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female in the kingdom. Okay. So I want to just lay that foundation. We're back to garden principles now that we're under the new covenant because now we've been redeemed from the curse of the fall, right? Doesn't mean that in the natural there's not still order in the home. That still works in the home, okay? Husband is still head of the house. That's fine. But you're, again, co-heirs of Christ together. And in the kingdom, you're co-equals, right? There's no better Christian than male or female, right? We're all on a level playing field when it comes to the kingdom. So in the home, there's structure in the home, order in the home. That's great. And even in the church, there are authority structures, but that does not omit females in authority structures. Now, this is where people raise their hand and say, okay, but wait a second. I've got two scriptures. You got the two scriptures? Yeah, that's how you open in your Bible. Oh, you got notes.
I just went to my notes.
We're going real deep.
Topical.
So there are.
I have my topical stuff.
There's a scripture in Corinthians and a scripture in Timothy, right? We've got both those scriptures. One of them said that I do not permit a man to teach a woman. This is in Timothy, right?
2:12.
And he says, I do not permit a man to teach a woman, for the man was made first and then the woman. Now, again, when we start talking in language like that, we're talking about Adam and Eve, and we're talking about structure once again in the home. Because if you can explain how that makes a woman not able to minister, then you can also explain to me how a woman is saved through childbearing. If she continues in faith, right? That's quite a scripture. Mm-hmm. And that one, I don't see anybody tackling that one, right? Like, hey, let's find out how women are saved through childbearing. What the heck does that mean, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're pointing forward to Christ. We're taking a look at ultimately what's going on there. So in the one in Corinthians, it talks about women should be silent in the church, for I do not permit a woman to teach a man. But if she has questions, let her go home and ask her own husband. Now, if you look at the original language, then you will find out that the words man, woman, husband, and wife, for man and husband, same word. For woman and wife, same words. Why would we switch them to be woman can't teach a man, but if she has questions, let her go home and ask her husband instead of man, right? It should be husband, really, in the context, because we're talking about order in the church. In the same book, First Corinthians, mm-hmm. when it talks about prophesying, mm-hmm. it talks about a woman prophesying in church with right. head coverings and things yes. like that, right? Yeah. Now, again, explain to me head coverings. How right. does that work? How am I supposed to pray with a hat on or hat off? Mm-hmm. I take mine off just out of respect and just in case. Right. But really, I don't understand how that changes anything spiritually, right? But really what we're talking about is authority. And we're talking about reverence for God and respect for God. And then the woman's covering is her hair, mm-hmm. right? Or a veil or something like that. And so, again, contextually, you can get into the cultural context and all that kind of stuff. But
What they believed hair meant and represented. Absolutely. And even scientifically, right? What they thought hair did. And anyways,
yeah, there's a lot there, right. you know. But really, you know, when I see that God used women in the New Covenant, okay, you've got Philip, who had, what was it, four daughters?
Four daughters who prophesied.
Where did they prophesy? Right.
In church.
In the synagogue.
Right. Yeah.
I think,
gathering
right?
the believers. Yes.
Oh, they're only supposed to prophesy right. out there in the streets right. and only to the people. And,
which
and,
is where the church gathered well, at this time.
I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously when the Spirit of the right. Lord is there yes. and that sort of a thing. So here's, we've got women in ministry. You've got the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans with a laundry list of people mm-hmm. and many of them women in positions of authority.
Yeah.
You've got a ministry team.
Right.
Aquila and Priscilla. Well, why wasn't he saying, hey, Priscilla, you need to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Let your husband teach, right? Yeah. It wasn't. Many times he would greet Priscilla first yeah. and then Aquila, denoting yeah. that she had leadership.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, which present day we've got women like Joyce Myers.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Great communicator of the Word of God. You've got Marilyn Hickey, right? The great communicator of the Word of God. I mean, just some solid women out there that are Lisa Bevere, mm-hmm. Christine Kane. She's coming to Girls Night Out soon with us. So,
yeah.
you know, we can see that there's not a prohibition mm-hmm. on women in ministry. Yeah. So why do people omit them? I believe it's because they take those two scriptures out of the context
yeah.
and really the translation is weak. Our founding pastors wrote a book and an apologetic about this. And you can pick it up at The Rock in our bookstore, that sort of a thing. And I don't think we have it online. I'm not sure.
Probably yeah, not. That's a good
but
question.
Maybe we can yeah. take a look at that in the future. But yeah, I mean, it's just an apologetic. It opens up the language and talks about
yes.
that. But really, yeah, women should be in ministry. Yeah, why would you cripple half the body
right.
of Christ?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the gifts, right, in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those gifts are not just given to men, right?
No.
The gift of mm-hmm. prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. gift of exhortation, the right. gift of teaching, right? Yeah. A word of knowledge, right? It's mm-hmm. for the building up of the body.
And he said body, yeah.
to all, given these gifts to all, even in Ephesians chapter 4, right? To yeah. all. And I think it's interesting that scripture you pointed out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the head covering. It says, when they pray and prophesy, they should have their head covers.
Wait, right. I thought they were supposed to be quiet.
So I'm like, yes. no, they can't do it. But yeah, when they do it, and then it goes on, goes on to say, but if it's going to be contentious, then we have no custom,
right?
Because it was a custom for that custom. Local church, right? Right. It right. comes down to custom. I did a whole paper in my seminary degree on women in ministry, trying to unpack it for myself, mm-hmm. and it came down to custom right. of the time. When yeah. you look at it, look at the words, look at what Paul was saying, and then if you take the New Testament in the era that it was, mm-hmm. and you consider the position of women in that society, they did not have a position, they did not have a voice,
wow,
and yet.
Yeah.
In the New Testament church, you have people like Priscilla, right? Mm-hmm. You have people like Junia. Junia, he calls an apostle. It was so shocking to the translators that they said they must have made a mistake and it's male Junius. But the historical research has shown that name was not used for males in that time period. Mm-hmm. It was abundantly used for women. And so finding somebody in the scripture called an apostle and being a female was hard for the church.
Right.
Now it's been restored in the more recent translations use older manuscripts, but it was just difficult. Mm-hmm. And Jesus exalted women.
Yeah. I was going to say, can we just pause for a second and just camp out on the fact that Jesus exalted women?
Yeah. Yes.
They were the first evangelists.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mary in the garden was the first one to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, a woman who was so broken in the world.
Right.
And yet God chose to restore. Number one, through a virgin,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So where the fall came through a woman, Eve,
mm-hmm.
That's
good.
The Redeemer came through a woman, Mary. Yeah.
Yep, we're in that season where we're going to be talking
about
that.
He gave so much dignity to women in a time where there was not... There, and again, some of these things seem like standard things now, but it was giving extra, even that he let Mary sit at his feet in the position of a student.
Well,
right? The fact that that was what the disciples did.
Yeah.
Where she should not have been allowed to sit in a crowd of students of or men. Disciples, yes, with other men. But Jesus gave dignity. He never corrected. If that was going to be the position, you would think he would nip that in the butt once and for all right here. Why even leave it up to Paul or anybody else?
Yeah.
But I'm obviously giving dignity to this.
What about the woman in Samaria?
Right, absolutely.
He let her go preach to the whole village and draw them to Christ, right?
A woman who had five husbands and the one that she was with was not hers.
Right.
Scandalous.
Again and again, he dignifies and elevates women beyond that cultural time.
Yeah.
So if we look at it from our cultural lens, it doesn't seem like there's very many women, but there are a lot
Tons.
For that time period. Yes.
It's interesting. My daughter is in college right now studying theology, and she has a whole class just on women in the book of Samuel.
Wow, that's
yeah,
amazing.
You know, I just
so
was
specific,
like, that's,
right?
That's pretty awesome, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, that's, when you really break it down, mm-hmm. God is not chauvinistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not a male-dominated right. religion, which right. I've heard through, you know, a lot of the foolishness of politics and the current cultural climate that we're in. People are afraid of the rise of Christianity because what's going to happen to women? Well,
it's the patriarchy.
If you read the book,
patriarchy,
find out what's going to happen to women. Yes. They're going to be elevated,
that's
right?
Exactly
they're going
right.
to be blessed. Yes. They're going to be taken care of because that's God's heart. And when a real man follows Jesus closely, he's going to have the heart of God.
Yes.
That's good.
Right?
And I think we did justice to this question.
Nice.
But it did lead me to want to not give a qualification, but I mean, I was just reminded of maybe either the last episode or the in recent episodes, we did talk about
disagreements
and how we go about this. So it is never our intention, our heart, to draw hard lines where people wouldn't be able to. But we are doing our best. I forget what word you used, Pastor, to bring up like this is our interpretation or this is our view or perspective on what these scriptures hold. So we hold these tensions in our hand and stand on these beliefs based on our understanding of scripture, knowing there are people that disagree, God-fearing brothers and sisters in Christ that believe differently than we do on a lot of the questions that we'll come up with. So we're not trying to be controversial, but we are trying to be authentic to our interpretation of scripture here. Is that a fair qualification?
When it comes to the non-essentials, I always say I hold them with an open hand.
Yes. And that kind of...
Because I've learned a lot over the years. So that I held with the closed fist, I realized, I'm wrong. Yeah.
I think we're going to get to heaven. God's going to straighten out all of our theology. Yes. You know what I mean? It's like,
so
whoa.
Again, that's kind of like the PC person in me, but I did just want to share that because again, this is not we are not trying to get some sound bites or be controversial, but we are
not
wanting to inform and educate those people that ask those questions.
We're also not trying to be PC,
right? And we're not trying to be PC. That's why I said part of me,
the side of you that would be.
Yeah. So let's see here. Next question. Bum ba da bum.
Did it stop?
Yes. Is it wrong to expect a return or blessing when I give?
No.
No.
Not wrong at all.
Right.
Right? God invites us to sow.
Yes.
And the thing about putting seed in the ground is that you expect a harvest.
Yes.
Right? So you expect the seed that goes into the ground. And the Bible says that God gives us bread for food and seed for the sower.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about finances.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of those finances are meant to meet our own needs, bread for food, right? And some of it's meant to be sown. And when we sow in obedience to godly principles, we can expect a return.
Right.
Now, that's different than having a perspective of God that he's a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put some in, I better get some
right.
out.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I put some in, I better get some out. As opposed to knowing that God has established the world and seasons of sowing and reaping, and it works in our finance life.
Now, right? I'd imagine the intent of a question like this maybe comes from the idea of a heart of greed, right? And managing and making sure that we're not being greedy, or, you know, we've heard the term, hey, we don't give to get, which is kind of goes a little bit against what you're saying, which I agree. But I think even the don't give to get goes from the I'm giving not in faith, but solely for the intent of like, I'm just giving because then it will be owed to me, kind of like the slot machine. I'm putting this in and I know it has to come back. I'm not in faith. I'm not really in obedience. I'm just, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do and it's going to come back to me X-fold, right?
Here's a thought. Expectation and motive are two different things.
All right, that's good.
If I was talking to my child and I said, hey, tonight when I come home, I'm going to take you out to a really nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And my child expected me to come home and take them out to a really nice dinner. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Right.
But if I had never told my child that, and I, let's say I picked up dinner from some place that they didn't like, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And they said, Dad, I expected you to come home with a really nice dinner,
yeah.
and I get this junk, you know?
Yeah.
What is that about? That's
yeah.
heart issues.
Yeah. Right? There's heart issues there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Similar thing with God. God gives us from his word promises yeah. that we can expect.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what is our motivation? Is it gain?
Yeah.
Right? Because the Bible says that godliness with contentment
is great gain.
Is great gain, mm-hmm. right? That's what we're looking for. It's not about the stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? But if I sow, I know I will reap, like
yeah.
you started with.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I can expect that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just,
it's great.
Hey, God's going to do it, right? And there's nothing wrong.
To take yeah. advantage wants of
us
his promises.
To. Yeah. Wants
right.
us to.
Right. He's like, I've given you these great impression right. promises. Put them to work. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, I think of, and it's not life. Just finances, but him that, you know, I and those who diligently, there's a reward for those who diligently seek.
There you go.
Great. Yeah. So it's okay to understand that there's a reward for this seeking. And
to
work.
Expect a reward is not wrong. I think in our society, though, again, right. you're expecting something good.
Yes.
That's all you want from God.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we almost want to go back to Job and should we only accept good and not bad, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to have wisdom and maturity to know that, hey, I may sow and there may be times that I don't reap what I thought I should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I expected it and maybe I was disappointed because it didn't look like what I thought. But again, environments matter, seasons matter. There's
yes.
a whole lot to sowing,
yes.
right? In
yeah.
the natural, of
mm-hmm.
course. In the spirit, there's a whole lot to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it
Absolutely.
May be that it's not now. It might be delayed. It might be, you know, any, yeah. it might be hindered. It might be something going on that's an attack.
Right.
You know, there's many factors. But
Absolutely.
Expectation, hey, I say get your hopes up.
Yeah, it's
good.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Put your hopes in the
Next
Lord.
Question. If it feels like I don't have enough... what do I do if it feels like I don't have enough godly support in raising young children? I think this kind of came Ooh. From a, hey, I'm we're a young couple, we're raising our kids in church. I just don't know. I don't feel like I have the support, the village, so
gotcha.
To speak, of mm. this godly support. Maybe our family, maybe we're first generation Christians, which is very common nowadays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we don't. And so when we say we don't celebrate this or we're not going to do that or watch that, they're not getting the support. That you would get like, oh, I mean, because I know for me, it was just kind of known, right? Even aunts and uncles like, oh, yeah, none of us watch that. None of us do this versus being the only one where everything is adverse,
yeah.
right? So how do you find that village? Any
good
thoughts?
Question. I think there's two sides to that here because you're a part of the village.
Yeah.
Right? We're the parent that was looking for the village, you know, and I think you've got some beautiful things to share. I'll just start with this, with our kids. Obviously, you know, having godly grandparents helped a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? And godly aunts and uncles. That was phenomenal. We also had some very close friends that had shared values
mm-hmm.
that we were able to work with. Now, if you don't have that, let's say you're the only one, you know, church, part of the reason why we're a church is we're here for each other.
100%.
Yeah.
And I say put yourself out there. Find some faith-filled friends,
yes.
you know, and especially if you're a young person, we do have the young adults group.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we didn't make it a singles group or a marrieds group was because we knew that there was going to be mixture. We knew
yeah.
there was going to be single moms. We
yeah.
knew there was going to be people who were starting their career, people who are still in college, people who are married, people who are single, you know. And so with the diversity of walks of life, we created that group with the intent of, hey, we can become that village, right?
Mm-hmm.
Young people together, passionate, serving the Lord, finding our place and moving forward together. And what was neat about when we were doing it, you know, we launched it and we didn't have any kids, but I mean, Espinosis
yeah.
had the first, we called her the Shift
yeah.
baby because
yeah.
it was called Shift at the time. Now it's young adults.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had the first one. We had our daughter second.
Mm-hmm.
Third was another group, another set of our friends, our
yeah.
close friends. I mean, and these kids grew up together in those. I remember being in Denny's
mm-hmm.
at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls were in their little, you know, the little car seats. And
oh,
they were playing
ladies.
With each other,
yeah.
putting them up and down like the little, the sun visor, right? Playing
yeah.
with each other.
Right.
In Denny's mm-hmm. at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
because we were young and wanted to
yeah.
hang out.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did, you know. And so, yeah, there's avenues. Get into a small group. There's actually, do you know about this, Pastor Teresa, in Women Rock? They have like a young mom's small group.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's like 20 young
yeah.
moms.
They're awesome. It's awesome.
You know them?
Yeah.
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 And so there's some avenues. And
yep.
with small groups, you know,
yep.
you got the run walk. And then too, I think, you know, even with salt, if you talk to Pastor Mike and Sue and said, hey, I need some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Would anyone want to sit with me? There's some people
yeah.
that would love to share their life, share their highs and their lows, their, you know,
yeah,
failures, and as well, the things that they did good, you know, right. Because people have been through it. And so that, I'd say church is your primary way you're going to find that, that community. Yeah. Pastor, would you share some of your encouragements? I mean, you got a lot. You're amazing.
Being a village contributor to a village, right? What your insights?
You know, I have, like I said earlier, I have 8 sisters, right? Mm-hmm. And most of them have procreated.
That's one way to say it. Yeah. Multiplied
and,
on the earth.
So it's been a privilege to come alongside them and encourage them and be part of that journey, mm-hmm, of raising them and being available to them and them having a relationship with me as an aunt,
yeah,
right? And being very intentional, not mm-hmm having children of my own, being very intentional about bringing them into my life, doing life with them, encouraging them in the things of God, trying to get them, you know, good Christian education. I'm involved in that. And being that present, being very, very present. But I think when it comes to people who are, how do I get that? How do I have these outside people in my life? I mean, obviously, there's no better place than the house of God.
Yeah.
But there's also an invitation, because there are single people in our community without children who would be more than willing to become family with you.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really about, hey, do you want to come over our house for dinner? What are you doing for the holidays? And beginning to bring these single people, young and old. Mm-hmm. They could be in their grandma ages, and they could be the grandma to your family, the godly grandma, wow, to your family.
That's awesome.
They could be the friend to you. They could become a babysitter. They could be, not because they're babysitting, because they're taking your kids out. I love to take my niece and nephews out, mm-hmm, right? We go out on movie dates, go out to the weekend, yeah, we go get a hotel and go to the beach. Just me and the kids.
Yeah.
The parents can have the time to themselves. And they knew it was a godly influence. And I believe that there are people, single adults in our church. If you'll open the door to them, mm-hmm, you'll watch your village grow.
Yeah.
In addition,
yeah,
to all the things Pastor Dan said, I think that there's a real group of people that are untapped and are, yeah, ready to be part of your family and expand your village so that you can raise your kids alone. But in a church like The Rock,
yeah,
there is plenty, no reason, mm-hmm, that you do not, right, have, absolutely, a larger village,
yeah,
if you're open to it.
Yeah. And just the children's ministry and the youth ministry and himself could, yeah, be their own village.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're amazing resources, all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, if you talk to one of either the youth pastors, the children's pastors, any of the team that's over there, man, they will introduce you to some phenomenal people and maybe some single aunties or, yeah, grandmas,
yeah,
or, you know, people that can be adopted into the family, yeah, that you would have never had the opportunity to meet had you not said, hey, is there somebody that could be a part of my village, you know,
yeah,
and they said, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so,
yep,
you know,
it's, yeah, good,
yeah, there's some great people. Let me just tell on Pastor Teresa, she's amazing. I know she's over here just kind of modestly talking about the things she does. When she talks about being a part of these nieces and nephews' lives, she's so in finances, she's gone and taken them on individual trips to New York to go see, mm-hmm, other family that's on the right, East Coast,
yeah. Yeah.
And she'll select one each time and take them individually. And I mean, Pastor Teresa, I mean, just when I see the things that you're doing for your nieces and nephews, I just want to say I'm blown away, mm, because I'm like, man, I need to be a better uncle. You know, like,
yeah,
I endeavor to be that type of a, yeah, person. You're awesome. Yeah. I mean, just, I sit back in awe when you tell me the things that you're doing. And I mean, one of your nieces is borrowing your car to go to Long Beach for school.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not using it that day. I'm like, I would not trust some of these kids that take my car,
yeah,
18 years old, driving to Long Beach.
Car?
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then I had to find a ride. and that's okay, because she's getting an education.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
good.
But those are the things I'm talking about. I mean, like, look at, amazing.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
Yeah, I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to open those doors.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, having expectations, the promises of God, right? He puts the solitary in families.
Yeah.
He'll put your family into other families.
That's
because
true.
God is capable and he's able. And so just, I was thinking about, my sister got involved in our first Rock sports league.
Mm.
I think we had soccer that first,
yeah,
year, basketball,
yep,
I don't remember. And now, what, 4 or 5 years later, they're her best friends.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they celebrate holidays together. They celebrate birthdays together. And there's a single mom with her kids and then a married couple. And my sister's a single mom with her kids. And they've,
amazing,
become this crew,
yeah,
that you expect them every time we have a family event because of getting involved in,
yeah,
the church.
Yeah.
Again, sports league.
Right.
Another avenue,
yeah,
to build relationship that's,
yeah,
bigger than just getting your kids in sports.
So, yeah, don't do it alone.
Yeah. No.
There you,
absolutely,
go. There, beautiful, you go. It's a choice.
Next question, does everyone receive the gift of tongues? We talked earlier about,
ooh,
spiritual gifts, one of them being the gift of tongues. Now the question came in as, does everyone get this gift?
I know my answer.
You do?
Should we also talk about, is this a gift for today? We probably need to
cover. I want
to
say yes, yes, and yes.
Wow.
What about you, Pastor?
Okay, let me just play devil's advocate for a second and ask a question. So the Apostle Paul asked, do all prophesy?
Yeah.
The answer is obviously no.
Right.
Do all speak in tongues?
And yes.
Wait. They do?
Yes, and all should prophesy.
No, but
doesn't
they
mean
all?
They do, but they right. should.
Should they?
We all have the ability to.
So you're making a distinction between should they, could they, and do they?
Yes, absolutely. So this is where I would get it from, right? First of all, you've got in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, talking about how do we build our spirit? We do it by praying in the spirit.
In the spirit.
And then you've got Jude verse 20.
Yes.
That you will build up your spirit by praying in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God ask me to do something that I could not do?
Good question.
Yeah.
How will I strengthen and grow if I'm not allowed to do that or given the access to do that? Yeah. Now, do I believe that people have, I just counseled somebody in my office the other day, right? Who's like, yeah, I know about that. I've been prayed for. I've gone to the class, but I'm still not there. So I'm encouraging them in these promises that God has for them to strengthen their spirit in their private time and to place that expectation on. Paul said, right, I pray more than you all, right? And he said, I also wish that you all would prophesy, right?
So,
get
so
out
again,
there and do it.
Again, if he's wishing they all spoke in tongues, they all didn't speak in tongues.
Right. Just like people we have in our offices now.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But I've never had, in my personal
I used to be one of those people, by the way.
Right, right.
Yeah, in my
it took
personal
me a long
experience,
time.
I've never had somebody who wasn't able to take those promises, walk them out alone, even after they've been laid hands on and they couldn't do it, and then come back to me months or a year later and be like, Pastor, I'm speaking in tongues. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I mean, my personal testimony was I didn't understand it at all. I grew up as a Southern Baptist, right? And so when I finally received the gift of speaking in tongues, I don't have a conscious memory of it, but I remember the three words.
Oh.
The Holy Spirit hit me at such a point. And I remember coming out of this, what just happened? Like, I don't remember it, but my friends told me what happened. And I remember these three words. I didn't know what they were. And I put them in my, you know, metaphorical back pocket because I didn't understand them. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know it. And it wasn't until 3 years later when I was desperately seeking God in my dorm room day after day, wanting to have a deeper relationship with him and pray.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit said, do you remember those three words?
Mm.
Use them.
Wow.
So I'm
and
hearing-
that changed my life.
I'm hearing a couple of different things because I hear Pastor Tracy, your explanation for the why and the value and why we should have the desire. But I also hear Pastor Dan's questions again, even as an advocate, right? From another angle, but also the importance of, because what we're not doing again is we're recognizing that there are hurdles. In fact, again, I didn't have this. You did, considering your upbringing, your spiritual upbringing. I didn't have a barrier to entry. It was kind of normal. It was happening all around me. So it wasn't like I didn't have to overcome that to get there, which we've had a lot of people not only having to overcome, I've never done this, which is big in and of itself, but having to go where there are people who actually adamantly teach against it, where it's demonic even, right?
Yeah.
I think that's accurate, where there are people that really go on to share that it's adverse to the gospel or to our faith walk. So,
which that messes me up because that's like, the Bible never calls it demonic.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's in the Bible.
Even if, like, where do you land there, even if you don't think it's for today?
I can't think of any place in the Bible where non-believers are speaking in tongues or Jesus says anything to people about being demon-possessed because they're speaking in tongues.
Right. You know, I mean, the only thing I think about is when Jesus was healing people and they ascribed it to Satan. Mm-hmm. He said that you won't be forgiven of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's where I have shared before I was filled with the Holy Spirit stories of people that had said that someone was speaking in tongues, and another guy said, you need to be quiet. You just cursed God in my native tongue, you know? And it was I can't verify that story's true.
Yeah.
Don't know where I heard it.
Yeah.
I shared it and later on repented before God because I was like, have I just blasphemed the Holy Spirit?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is another huge question in people's minds. So, you know, I think that's something to where I would stand up and say, hey, hold up. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say anything near that tongues could be demonic.
Yeah.
right? It's only spiritual. Mm-hmm. And you cited two scriptures. It builds us up. It edifies us, yeah. right? It strengthens mm-hmm. us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, yeah. And the Apostle Paul wished people would speak in tongues. And here right. we've got churches that are wishing right. people wouldn't.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. So, I just want to give, for those who maybe either struggle with the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or those who are, like you shared a conversation you had, where they're believing, they want it, but it's just not happening in that sense. No one walks away feeling like they're spiritually less than, or they're not quite Christian, or, you know, they're...
Right.
They're yeah. Or people, like you said, it's a gift that maybe people won't take, right? It's like, but you're saying, we're making the evident case for why you should desire it, want it. And receive this gift, but there are going to be people who just ultimately don't.
Well, foundationally, I think sometimes even something as simple as the difference between speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
And foundationally, again, we have to see, because there are denominations. Again, we're not going to divide over these things, how no. people look at the scriptures. And if you believe in the blood of Jesus, the virgin birth, yeah. right? The infallibility of the scriptures, those sorts of things. You're our brother, you're our sister, we love yeah. you. We're all going to yep. be in heaven together, and God will yes. straighten us all out. There are people, though, that make a distinction between those two, because they say that what the apostles did on the day of Pentecost, which was language that was known and mm-hmm. spoken, mm-hmm. You'll hear the term the glossalia, and yep. they talk about how that also resurfaced in the United States for a period of time during the healing revivals of the 50s. And then eventually it went into the charismatic revival and renewal and that sort of a thing. And there was speaking in tongues versus praying in the Spirit. And they would say speaking in tongues is known languages. Praying in the Spirit is in the angelic tongue, right?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13. And there are people that make a distinction between the two. I don't.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. It's because it's all within the same context, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. There was no chapter and verse. That was one thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where you're saying, hey, here's the Apostle Paul saying, I wish you all did. Do all? No, obviously not. Not everybody's going to speak in tongues, but I wish you all did.
Mm-hmm. And which means we must have access to it.
We've got access
because
to it.
Because how
right?
bad would that be? Like, I wish you had this, but you can't have it.
and he says,
God isn't yes. like that.
And God does say through the Apostle Paul, again, desire the best gifts.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
He says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but prophesying.
Earnestly desire.
Hey, prophecy is even more valuable in the yes. church, so that people can understand what's being said and they mm-hmm. can be built up. Because yeah. if I spoke 1,000 words in a tongue and no one understood, how could they say amen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? How could they be in agreement and be built up? And he says, therefore, prophecy is greater unless someone interprets what's being spoken
yeah.
in tongues. And again, distinction. Public tongues should be interpreted.
Right.
Yes.
But he says, if I pray, what then? I will pray
yeah.
in the Spirit. And I'll pray with my understanding.
Yeah.
So praying in the Spirit, he also equates with speaking in tongues, which I yeah. would say equates to the same thing.
Yeah, because I'm looking right here at 1 Corinthians 14, 14.
Yes.
For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays.
There you go. Spirit praying yeah. in the Spirit.
Yeah. Praying in the Spirit is praying in a tongue.
Yes. So it's yeah. a synonymous term.
Yes.
Right? And this is good, because I think this is where sometimes people get messed up, because there is a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, even just without all the stuff that's out there, just reading the Bible... Okay, so I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit, but then what's speaking in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yeah. like being filled with the Spirit,
yeah, right.
full of the Holy Spirit, versus being baptized in the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right? Same thing, synonymous terms, just said a different way.
And those are going to be the hurdles for some people, right? Like, as soon as they hear praying in tongues, it's going to be this really taboo. Now, this, I have a follow-up question. It's not on here, but it makes me think, and I kind of want to debunk the notion that is there a spiritual upper echelon? Are there things that more spiritual people do? You must be really spiritual because you prophesy or because you pray in tongues. Is there a way to attain an upper level, a higher level of spirituality or anointing? I think those are the, you know, it's like, oh, you're a holier than thou. You're uber spiritual. And then our performative nature as in our culture kind of makes us want to get there or delineate between the two sides. Right. And then in comparing, someone always is a little bit less.
Yeah.
Are you guys tracking with kind of what I'm again?
I think so.
I think your question is very reflective of our culture.
Right.
Yeah.
That because the kingdom is the opposite.
Right.
And as we go deeper and more intimate with God, we become more humble. More dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get to know the Holy Spirit, I believe that we do more easily flow in gifts, in words of knowledge, mm-hmm. in prophetic words. He does show us insight, right? But it doesn't,
it's not for
it
this.
Doesn't come off as super spiritual, yeah. because we're super dependent, mm-hmm. right? There's yeah. not a holy upper echelon. I've yeah. got this. That's literally the opposite.
Right,
right.
I would say that that person is dependent on their own mind.
That's so good.
Their own psychology, their own intellect, because as we know, get to know God, we realize how humble and dependent we are. And it's with the fear of God that we move in any gifts or speak on his behalf.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So I think the context is framed in our culture.
I would borrow the Apostle Paul's language from 2 Corinthians where he said, I'll become a fool. Mm-hmm. And let me compare myself right now to these quote-unquote super apostles
yes.
that
yeah.
NLT calls them, right?
Yeah.
And really there were some guys that were saying that they were more spiritual than everybody else. And even the language of levels mm-hmm. is a dangerous term because yeah. when you get into Gnosticism and some of the mysticism and New Age and mm-hmm. that sort of mm-hmm. a thing, there were angels that you had to pass in order to get to the next quote unquote level
right.
of
right.
spirituality.
Yes.
And so I would stray away from that because like Pastor Teresa said, the kingdom is humility. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, even with the Apostle Paul, when he does a spiritual flex on everybody and yeah. is like, hey, you want to know what's what?
Yeah.
I knew a guy who's caught up into heaven, probably yeah. talking about himself,
yeah.
right? Heard things that were inexpressible. So if y'all yeah. want to talk about being a super apostle,
yeah.
I mean, this guy had a unnatural birth, right? Yeah. Into the kingdom where Jesus yes. himself shows up. How many of you all had that happen,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy could flex and could boast. He says, but at the end of that, he wraps it up and says, but I'm not going to boast in any of that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. What I'm going to boast is in infirmities and right. weaknesses and imprisonments yeah. and abandonments and chains and beatings and lashings and
right.
persecutions from my countrymen and from you know, thieves yeah. on the road and shipwrecks yeah. and snake bites. And he's, I'm going to, why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Because in right? those things, you're going to see Jesus.
Absolutely. Well,
and it's perfect answers. Because again, where some of this comes from is even just the nature of, like you're saying, it's indicative of our culture, but it's the, we are here because we don't celebrate this day, or we do celebrate this day, or we abstain from this, or we do that practice, or it's kind of like, but there's scriptures talking about, what are you worried about? Who celebrates what moon
yeah,
holidays?
All that
and,
external yeah.
So again, that's where that question comes from, because there are these what have become hot topics in society, which yeah. really means I can post about how great I am because I do or don't do right. these things. And it's really infiltrated American, at least Western Christian culture. And it's kind of given people the holier than thou, it's upper, you know, we do this, we don't do that. So we're closer to God. You guys, you're a lukewarm Christian. You're a carnal Christian. Look what you guys participate in and do it and do that.
You know,
and I guess
I'm reminded of Jesus's warning not to partake of the leaven mm-hmm. of the Sadducees and Pharisees, which is
so
hypocrisy.
Good. So good.
Yeah. Who clean the outside of the cup,
yeah.
but not the inside.
Right.
Right. And so people are worried about what days do they celebrate? Who does mm-hmm. this? And if I do right. or don't do that.
Right.
And literally, I mean, the reason he talks about it being the cup is because you can clean the outside of the cup and the inside's
right.
filthy.
Right.
But when you clean the inside of the cup, the outside gets clean too.
Yeah.
And so that religiosity is literally hypocrisy. Right. It's good. Literally anathema. Yeah. To the Christianity that we've been called to live.
Right. So good. So good.
Well, to answer that question, not everyone will speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it is available to everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't speaking in tongues, you're not any less spiritual, less of a Christian, because Pastor Dan took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You had your own story. I had my story.
3 years
yeah.
between receiving and actually using it.
Yeah. Mine was, months. I don't know the specifics of it, but it was months before. And I had one word. I didn't get three. I had one. And had the question, was that real? Was that me? Was yeah. that God? You know, and went through a process to get to the point. But I would encourage the listener, and especially the person asking that question, I would think that potentially you're wanting to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, hey, desire the best gifts.
Yeah.
And God is a good God who gives good gifts to his children. Speaking
there
in tongues is not bad. It's not
good.
Demonic. It's something good. It's
yeah.
for building you up.
Yeah.
And if there's an interpretation, it's for building the body of Christ up.
Yeah.
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 Well, hey guys, thank you all for your time. This is all we have for there are more questions. We are actually going to do a part two
Woo.
That will release next week, and
nice.
We're excited to share those with you and try to get through as many more of the questions. Maybe there's a question that you have that you'd like to add right there in the comments. Again, we'd love to follow up. We love to do these episodes. We pray that you are blessed. Have a wonderful day. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Get the word out, man. Post us on socials. We'll, what is it? Like for like, tag for tag. I don't know. I don't know what the kids are saying these days. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.